Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator Fabian Dunyate. He is the Deputy Majority Whip for the Democrats, and he's here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the heat back on today. Call us today and we'll fix it today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why freeze for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your furnace fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country, our prosperity, and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table, is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're here at the home of the Nevada Builders Alliance, and we are delighted to be joined by State Senator Fabian Dunyate. He is the Deputy Majority Whip for the Democrats. It is a pleasure to have you on the program. So we've been trying to get you on for a long time. So glad you're here.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, you're very welcome. You're a co-sponsor of a bill relating to bilingual education that does, among other things, provide a stipend for teachers who teach students enrolled in bilingual education programs. Recently, President Trump, as you know, signed an executive order designating English as the official language of the United States. So what does it mean for the future of bilingual education, especially when it comes to immigration, voter access, and other issues?
Well, thank you so much for that question. I want to start off by answering that question more from a personal lens, because I think oftentimes with these conversations, we forget about the real stories that are impacted by people. You know, the reason why I studied public health when I went to college was because when I was 17, I had to translate for my father when he got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Now, if you're a child of an immigrant, right, my dad came from Zacatecas, Mexico, that's a normal part of our process, right? Many of us translated our filter permission slips to help our parents when they go to the DMV. And I was in that circumstance where I had to translate for my father when he got a life-changing diagnosis. And so when we look at what language access can be, right, we have to remember that a large proportion of this state, about one in every three Nevadans, are of Latino descent. And many of them speak Spanish as their primary language in the household. And there are other kids like myself that had to oftentimes translate for their parents. And so when we have this national rhetoric of designating English as a national language, that does nothing to help the individuals that speak the language, a different language at home, right? And so when we look at things like bilingual education or making sure that voters have access to when they get to the ballot box, it's not about what language takes precedent over another. It's about ensuring that the citizens of this state have the rightful resources to participate, essentially, in the government services that they paid for. And so that's why, whether it's in the healthcare setting or it's in education, we have to do a better job at making sure that people understand how their government works and the things that they're being able to get serviced. And that's why it's important to ensure that language access is afforded to everyone, regardless of who you are or where you come from.
You know, it's interesting. The other side of my business, apart from Nevada Newsmakers, is an advertising agency. Mm. And going back 30 years ago, I was, you know, seeing how the growth of the Hispanic population. Mm-hmm. And I went to clients and said, we should be advertising in Hispanic radio and television. It is a huge market that we are missing out on. And they said, well, they don't speak English. Mm. And I went back to my friends in the Hispanic community and they said exactly what you said, which is, well, yeah, if they don't speak English, they will bring the kids with them. There is no problem. And I think that a lot of businesses are missing out on a huge market that they don't understand because they don't realize that the communication is there and that everybody, doesn't matter where you're from, needs to buy washing machines, cars, houses, you name it. So it seems to be a failing of business to not accommodate that, at least mentally, if not in actuality.
Well, and let's remember that the trends of the state are growing towards that population. You know, right now, if you go to Clark County School District, about 50% of the kids enrolled are Latino. The same could be applied in Washoe County School District. And here in Carson City, right, one of the largest minority populations that's continuously growing is the Latino population. You know, back in October, I did a farm worker tour. I went to a couple farms to go learn about the issues that they're facing. And many of the workers out there themselves are immigrants from Latino countries. And so this is a growing part of our population. And I think it's important that we illustrate the issues that they face. And bilingual education is one of the main reasons of why we are trying to ensure that regardless of who you are or where you come from, we can all work together and sometimes we can learn from each other. And I think that's one of the positive aspects of how our state demographics are changing.
So let's relate to Nevada here in this whole discussion, which is, and nobody's arguing about exporting criminals back to their home countries. I don't think there's any argument from anybody about that. Mm. And there's also no argument that the people who have come here legally do get upset at people who come here illegally after they have gone through the appropriate process. Mm. But putting all that aside, in Nevada, we have industries that would not exist without huge amounts of whether it's immigration in terms of people moving here permanently or seasonal workers that, you know, our farming industry, our hotel casino industry would not make it if it weren't for the immigrant population.
That's correct. I think that oftentimes we lose a narrative in terms of what are the actual stories that people are impacted. You know, it's always funny to me talking with many of my colleagues in the legislature, because clearly I think that sometimes, right, if you don't know someone that's an immigrant or don't have any relation to someone who has gone through the documentation process, it's very hard to understand the difficulty of why it's a, there's a conversation of, well, why don't they just go back to their home country and enter the process legally? That's very
People have no clue how complex that is.
Let me explain to you that I have family members that are lived in Nevada longer than I've been alive, that haven't had the ability to be afforded a documentation pathway. I have uncles who are small business owners, landscaping companies, who have children that are Americans, but they are here illegally, right? They're undocumented. I would consider them Nevadans. I would consider them Nevadans more so than some of the legislators that just moved here, right? They have called this state their home. They've paid sales taxes, they've paid property taxes, they've paid taxes all across the state. And so I think of when there's this national rhetoric of let's deport criminals, let's separate these families, let's criminalize these individuals or these immigrants that are not useless for anything, I question that narrative, because oftentimes I think we fail to recognize the stories of many families here in this state. You know, the demographics that we know, the population count is that 1 in every 10 Nevadans is undocumented. Not related to someone that's undocumented. They are undocumented. It's becoming a larger portion of our sector. And so for us to say that we're going to come in and deport these folks that have come here illegally for whatever reason, regardless of them being here for 10, 20, 30 years, as my family members have been, that is going to have an economic shift towards the businesses that largely depend on them. As you mentioned, businesses in the hospitality industry. Many of my family members work in agriculture, right? They work in landscaping. These are economic shifts that we are not prepared to be able to handle as a state. And so that's why it's
as a country.
As a country as well. That's correct.
You know what's interesting about all this? is that President Trump is a co-owner of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas with Phil Ruffin, a major casino owner with Treasure Island and Circus Circus. He's brought Steve Witkoff, who is the owner of the Fontainebleau, into the administration and appears to be doing a wonderful job. Steve Wynn, all people that he's close to, I'm forgetting the guy's name, but the head of Colony Capital, also was a major casino owner that was part of the Trump campaign. So I kind of get the feeling that there's rhetoric and then there's the reality. But another reality is that we haven't fixed immigration in any way since Ronald Reagan in 1986. And that started with the Carter administration back in 1977. That's insane.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we saw under the Obama administration is obviously the creation of DACA. And I have many of my friends that were participants of that because it was instituted when I was in high school. And now what we're seeing is that there are individuals, those DACA recipients are now older, right? They have children that are United States citizens. They are married to United States citizens, but they're not afforded the pathway to work and be a part of this country to participate in the voting process, right? Even though they have been here since they were 2 or 3 years old. And so they are every right American. The only difference is the paperwork that defines them as such. And what we're also seeing now is that because that program has been halted due to the efforts of the Trump administration, now there are children that are graduating from high school that aren't being able to be afforded the same opportunity that DACA recipients are because they're too young to participate in the program.
Okay, and I will go back and say that you can blame every administration since the Reagan administration, Republican and Democrat, and the Congress for not fixing immigration in one way or another. I don't think it's just a current situation. By the way, can I throw in one other thing? One of the things that's not talked about is that our population growth is going backwards. We're not increasing a population. And yet it takes 16 people working to provide the money for one person on Social Security. The road we're heading down is not sustainable financially. Now, we already know there's, you know, a $36 trillion debt in this country. But just Medicare and Social Security, if you don't have people working, you can't pay that bill. So at some point, it's going to run out. All right, that's my thought. I'll take a break here. We'll come right back. More after this timeout.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Fabian Doñate. He is the Deputy Majority Whip for the Democrats, and you are the chair of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee. You're also a primary sponsor of a bill that requires Medicaid to provide certain limited coverage to people who would otherwise be ineligible for Medicaid because of their immigration status. What happens to this bill and Medicaid coverage in general as the Trump administration ponders cuts to Medicaid?
Well, you know, that's one of the greatest issues that we're facing right now, right? I think that any potential cuts to Medicaid or Medicare nationally, congressionally, can have devastating effects here in our state. We know that if any potential cut is made, that there are going to be concerns for eligibility groups that perhaps were optional before that we may not be able to cover essentially moving forward. And I'll give you an example. The state right now gets a federal match, right? In terms of if we put a dollar, the federal government gives us $9 back. And it was an incentive driven so that states can be able to enhance the services that they're able to provide statewide. But there are certain services that are offered via Medicare or Medicaid that individuals maybe largely depend on, but they're considered optional. And I'll give you an example of it. If the federal administration or if Congress is able to cut programs to Medicaid, either reducing the amount that the state receives back, then that's going to put us in a tough situation where we have to come back and cut programs as well. Things like children that need implants or certain prosthetics, right? These are considered luxury services that are right now considered optional. I think they're essential, right? I think that any program that families depend on, hardworking families depend on, that they might not be able to afford any sort of cut is strictly off the table. But unfortunately, if Congress makes that decision, then we are going to have to make cuts to this program here in our state. And I think that's something both Democrats and Republicans don't want, right? Because oftentimes we have to respond back to our constituents, and these are safety net services that many folks often depend on. And I think that's the hard part of what we're dealing with right now with Congress.
I remember when I first interviewed Senator Reid over 30 years ago. We were, of course, in a financial crisis back then as well. Mm. And I said to him, if we're going to look at the country and say, we've got to cut, every state has to cut. So what would you cut to be able to be our part of helping this, the financial situation? $36 trillion in debt. What do you look at and say, okay, this would be acceptable? For example, there were some adult services that were provided under Medicaid. Mm. Are you okay with those being cut? Because those are not a traditional group that was being served by Medicaid.
Mm. I mean, see, the difficult thing is, because I work in primary care, right? I work outside of the legislature, I work in the facility where people often come with many of their issues. And so it might be easy to say, well, why don't we cut XYZ? But until you're facing that patient and telling them, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to cover the level of service that you need because of political decision that happened at XY location, constituents do not care about that, right? What they want is a government that is going to be able to serve them when they're in times of need, right? If there is an ability to protect our seniors or our children who are disabled, who may not be able to have the safety net if it weren't for the state of Nevada, right? That is an issue that affects all of us, regardless of what political side you are. And I think that's what I've been working with my Republican colleagues to try to understand is, let's not put ourselves in a difficult situation where we're forced to make those cuts, because what we don't want are those situations where doctors are telling us that we're not doing our jobs, because fundamentally we should be providing this level of service as a public good. And it's up to us to ensure that if we actually want to protect access to care, then it starts here. This is a conversation that we need to have.
All right, but there are lots of doctor's offices now that don't accept Medicaid.
And I think the difficulty...
Because of the reimbursement, obviously.
And I think that's because of a lack of investment that we've made as a state towards healthcare and education, right? I think that there's a reason, that's a symptom. It's a symptom of not taking the problem serious comparatively to what other states are taking it, right? There are a lot of other states that have put forward funding towards Medicaid, towards public health programs, so that when individuals need help, there's a place for them. And I think that oftentimes doctors get frustrated because they hear from the legislature, well, we're not raising the rates that we've had since the 90s, since 20 years ago. And it's collectively because the legislature needs to take a better enhancement of how we can draw more federal funds and how we can work together to solve the gaps. But if those federal programs are cut, or if there's a less return that we can get, then ultimately we can't enhance the reimbursement rate for that doctor, and it makes the situation even more difficult.
All right, but if the reality, and I don't know that the reality is going to be almost $2 billion in cuts to Nevada, we don't have that kind of money.
That's correct. I think that's something that all of us can agree on, that any potential cut is going to be devastating to any of us, and we don't want to put ourselves in a position of having to cut programs.
And, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services in the state, which has been doing a great job for decades, they're going to be in a tough situation where they have to look at what the potential cuts are. And perhaps it's smarter to look at it now and say, okay, if, then this is what we would have to do, rather than it's a surprise and, you know, we have to replace the whole amount of money. It's not going to happen.
We've already started that process. And I think it would alarm every Nevadan of the type of programs that we may be in a position to cut. But ultimately...
Okay, well, may I ask you, give me a couple of examples?
The one that I used, prosthetics for kids, that is a type of optional service that would be potentially cut. Another one could be prescription drugs, right? Under Medicaid right now, we offer a certain level of services of prescription drugs that can be afforded. We may be in a position that for the drugs that are very costly, cancer treatment for HIV, that we may not afford as a state to be able to afford to everyone, even though there's a small portion of the population that may be critically affected. Those are types of examples in terms of services. Now, in terms of eligibility, Nevada has done a great job at enhancing eligibility for people outside of the standard. An example would be pregnant moms, right? Pregnant moms that make just a little bit above the threshold of whatever we call essentially the determinant of whether or not you're underneath the federal income poverty level. We say, okay, maybe we can take it up to 150%. So if you're making between $38,000 to $50,000, you can qualify as a pregnant mom. If we have cuts through Congress in terms of not being able to fund that, we might have to take that away. And so pregnant moms that qualified above the threshold that we had before may not be able to be receiving certain benefits anymore. Those are types of eligibility groups that may be impacted through this process. And, you know, Congressman Horsford talked about the diapers for seniors. That happened in 2020 during the pandemic. We had to cut that program. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter the disagreements that we have politically. Oftentimes, we find ourselves having to respond to the needs of our constituents. And these are critical programs that often people rely on. And I think that we need to continue to tell their story, because otherwise we cannot be in a position where we're cutting programs. That's ultimately a disservice to our state and a disservice to ourselves.
Agreed, but you know, we all deal with our family budgets. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the money, then you're not able to do things. Mm-hmm. And it's cruel and heartless, but then somebody started out by providing the money for that. Mm. And didn't look down the road and see that, you know, there are going to be downturns in the economies. But let's take a break. We'll come back with a couple other topics right after this timeout.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation. And a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas?
Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I am back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with the Deputy Majority Whip for the Democrats, State Senator Fabian Doñate. The bill that would require daily room cleanings at the hotels in Clark and Washoe, the governor said flat out that he will veto this. Your thoughts on this and the fact that Lori Rogich, a Republican that he needs, was the sponsor of this?
Well, thank you so much for that question. This is a very difficult issue just because of the dynamics of the economy and, of course, of the labor shortages that we have. I think that there's validity in both sides, right? Not being able to hire enough housekeepers to keep up with the demand that we're seeing in the market, but also ensuring that housekeepers are able to maintain their level of stability so that they can do their jobs. Ultimately, right, I think both sides have a merit in terms of the argument that they're posing. The question now becomes what is right and what is wrong. And I think that we're going to be able to maybe discuss that over the long term. But I think the most critically important thing is, you know, our economy as a state has been slowing down, and we're seeing national trends with perhaps an economic downturn. I think the most important thing is ensuring that our stability is preserved and how we can ensure that Nevada is able to continue to draw more visitors to the state and to our city. And I think if this is a conversation part of it, then we will have that discussion. And I'm certainly looking forward to hearing from my colleagues in terms of what they feel is right.
That's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Please come back.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
It happens. And when it does, there's UMC Quick Care.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Fantastic cocktails and delicious food. It's a good time to eat. Over 500 hot slots plus electronic table games.
It's a good time to play.
Player rewards and big time jackpots.
A good time to win. Ooh, your good times
are tamarack. When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.